en my kind op Radio Tygerberg 104 FM.
Goeienaand luisteraars, baie welkom hier by Ek en my kind op Radio Tygerberg 104 FM en ek natuurlik Neville Goliath en elke donderdag aan de oudergewoonte is iemand in ons geselskap, nee, as ek sê ons, dan praat ek van ek en Sura Swart. Nou Sura is nou nie met my saam vanavond nie, so sy is bezig met ander belangrike dinge, nee, maar vanavond het ons weer eens hierdie gesprek, jy sal onthou die afgelope paar weke, paar maande, gesels ons oor die belangrike rol en funksie van die gesin, nee, en wat maak die gesinne gesin, en hoe word gesinne saamgestel, maar baie gesinne is ook alternatief, is baie anders, ons het verlede week gepraat oor die hersaamgestelde gesin, en hoe die gesin kan functioneer op een baie functionele manier, as ons kyk na sekere dinge wat belangrik is. Nou, hierdie gesprek vanavond sluit aan by die functionering van die gesin, die rol van die gesin, en die belangrike versorging van kinders binnen die gesin. U sal onthou, so paar weke gelede, ek onthou nou nie wat er dag het was, nie, het ons gepraat met Dr. Tandi Wessels. Nou, Dr. Tandi Wessels is verbonde aan die departement van gesondheid, en sy, as dink jy, sy is in die oostelike streek van die Weskaap, en sy het gepraat oor die verskynsel wat deesdae, of die afgelope paar jare, is binne die Weskaap en ook in Suid-Afrika, en dit is die hele verskynsel of voorkoms van stunting. Nou, baie van julle weet, wat is nou stunting, nee? Dit praat oor groeivertraging, waar die kind se normale groei vertraag word vanweer die afwesigheid van sekere stimulering wat nodig is. Die ander woord vir stunting is verdwerging, maar dit kan miskien verwarrend wees as ons daai woord gebruik, nee. So ons bly by groei vertraging. Nou, ons wil graag praat oor wat is stunting? Wat is groeivertraging? Nou, om ons dit te kom sê, het ek een baie belangrike gas in die atelier, nou, sy was al hier voorheen, nee, so een paar jaar gelede, of was het nou verlede jaar, was sy hier in die atelier, en sy is die bestuurder van therapiedienste by die Weskaap Onderwijsdepartement. Sy is, uit beroep is sy arbeidstherapeut. Nou, die arbeidstherapeute sal weet, wat luister vanaan, hulle is eindelijk van die belangrikste mense, nee, wat ons het in die ondersteuningsdienste van kinders. So, in the studio this evening, I have Patricia Orenser. She's the manager for therapy service of the Western Cape Education Department. Patricia, baie welkom aan jou.
Good evening, Neville. Good evening, listeners. It's very nice to be here this evening. Thank you for inviting me.
Patricia, thank you for being here. And just to give us some clarity on what stunting is and what parents could possibly do and how they could, in their role as parent, ensure that we don't contribute to stunting. Because I know that parents in their role and function can be so overwhelmed by the stresses and the difficulties about finding themselves in this world, but also caring for kids. And sometimes we get it wrong. And sometimes we can contribute into something that can be horrific for the development of kids. What is stunting?
Okay, so Neville, I'm going to give you a very clinical answer, and then we can take it from there.
Okay, then we're going to unpack it and we're going to break it down.
Yeah,
okay.
We will unpack it. So as an OT, if I refer to stunting, I refer to the delayed growth and development that affects a child's ability to participate in age-appropriate occupations. And stunting is primarily caused by chronic malnutrition and can also result from environmental deprivation, limited sensory stimulation, and underlying medical conditions. So mm-hmm. As I said, that's a very clinical explanation. So you'll probably ask me, what is occupations? And as an occupational therapist, we look at the occupations of a person. So occupations are, we refer to meaningful activities that support the growth, development, and independence of a child. So there are certain occupations that we look at for children. Hmm. And that would include activities of daily living. We would refer to it as ADLs. And then social interaction, play, and learning. So those are the areas that we look at and how a child is functioning and is it age appropriate. So the child is actually functioning at the level we expect them to function.
So, so jy praat van activiteite vir daaglikse lewe, nee? Nou, as ons het nou moet afbreek na wat het beteken en as ons nou 'n kind waarneem, wat is activiteite vir daaglikse lewe by die kind?
Okay, so these are basic self-care tasks that promote independence. So when I say promote independence, we want when they of an older age, they would be able to do this on their own. That's okay. Independence. So it would start with the parents at their side showing them and gradually less and less dependence on parents, and eventually the child can do it on their own. So when I talk about self-care, I'm looking at feeding and eating, from learning to breastfeed, to bottle feed, to self-feed with their hands, and then to use utensils. So that is feeding and eating. I'm looking at dressing, moving from assisted dressing to where they put their clothes on independently so they can do it themselves. Grooming and hygiene, so washing hands, brushing teeth, and learning toilet training, even sleep and rest. So developing a sleep routine and self-soothing skills so they are able to actually go lay down and relax. So if we see stunting in those areas, so right, you will look at, you'll probably, if we look at, for instance, feeding, right? So you would see poor oral motor control, so which means the muscles in the mouth haven't developed.
Yeah.
And that could be because the manner bottle feeding was done, you know, it's all, you know, you learn as you go. And also, as the children get older, it could also be what they are eating. So, because there's difficulty in chewing and swallowing. So, it could be of what they are actually, are they eating where they have to chew? Because as a child gets older, the food has to change. You know, you start with the milk, but then they gradually you get to meat. So, you need to provide that nutrition to the child, and that is how the oral motor muscles develop. It's the same with you want them to hold their bottles. So now they're self-feeding, but if their hand muscles have not developed, their fine motor skills, then they struggle to hold the bottle. They cannot keep it for a long time. And eventually when they have to use utensils, they struggle to hold their spoon. They struggle to hold a cup, so they can come across as clumsy. Because they're very messy, because the control of actually doing the eating exercise and using those utensils correctly, it's now it's a struggle because those muscles haven't developed. So that's basically, same with dressing, for instance, because there's limited hand strength and coordination, right? So it's again to do with those muscles in the hands and also the hands working together. You know, so for instance, you are now struggling to do buttons. So when they need to button up their shirt or just one button, they struggle. They cannot put the button through the hole. That manipulation, they cannot do. Also, the coordination of the two sides of the body working together. So the hands working together. It's actually a struggle. So now it just takes long or they just don't get it. Same with the zip, it's two hands. So then now they have to zip or they have to unzip. It's a struggle. They can't get the zip together. They can't get they don't have the control to actually pull the zip down. Even with shoelaces, which is quite complicated.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
We wait till they a bit older before we let them tie their shoelaces. We'd rather use Velcro and things.
Yeah. But how bad is that? Is Velcro a bad thing?
No, it's not a bad thing.
Okay.
No, it's not a bad thing. If that is where the child is at, and it's, I actually say if It's a good thing to start with Velcro because it gives them control.
Yes.
It works on their hand muscles because they've got to pull it and then they've got to put it together. So, you know, put it on top of each other. So that's control happening there. So that's not a bad thing until eventually you get to the shoelaces. Because with the shoelaces, it's lacing, which is quite a sequencing thing you have to do. Then you have to tie a knot.
Yes.
It's two hands working together and getting the knot correct. And then you have to do a bow, which is, can be so complicated. If the coordination is not there, the child is really going to struggle with that. And that's when we say, try Velcro.
So what you're saying is that stunting is when a child is not coached.
Yes.
Or given the opportunity to do those little stuff that we often feel but is it's not so important. For instance, where a child is given a bottle to drink at a certain time to strengthen certain muscles in the mouth, then they eat solids or other textured food on a different time because it develops other muscles and the movement of the mouth so they can swallow in a certain, and then they eat solids. So there's a certain progression that needs to happen.
Yes.
So if kids grow up, for instance, in situations where there's deprivation or poverty, where that is not given to them, then stunting happens.
Yeah, it can occur. And it's got a lot to do with even eating. Nutrition plays a huge role because you need that muscle movement in the mouth. They're chewing. So what they're eating is actually very important. They need to eat different textures too, because it's all to do with that oral motor development of the mouth.
You mentioned that there are different occupations that is relevant to the lives of children. Can you just mention those occupations again? The ones you said, those activities for daily living. Mm-hmm. What are the others?
Okay, and then you've got your social interaction, and you've got playing and learning.
Yeah.
So I like to talk about play because as OTs, we will say play is the occupation of a child.
Yeah.
So as important as your work is for you, play is for children because they learn everything through play. The data they take in while playing is so important. So they need those opportunities to play.
What do you mean by data? Data through play?
They're taking the experiences that they are involved in when they are playing.
Mm-hmm.
And because can I explain it better? Maybe by explaining different kinds of play.
Okay, sure.
Okay? So, for instance, you get sensory play. So that's exploring through your senses, right? So you know our senses are our sight, our smell, our taste, our touch. So our hearing. So you encourage the child to experience playing through all those senses. So it could be they exploring different textures. So we always say sand play is very important. That children play in the sand. Water play, you know, where they fill the bucket and they throw it out, that experience, feeling it on their hands. Sometimes we even encourage just messy play, playing with paint, you know, painting their hands and making prints, or painting their feet so they can experience those different textures. And there's so many things you can actually get at the shops nowadays that feels like jelly, that you can just let the child experience this roughage in sometimes it's different sands that you can let the child play with, just so that they can experience it through their different senses. And even to let them taste different things. So they need, like, for instance, a variety of fruit.
Yeah.
So they can experience the different taste. Even a lemon. So they know what sour is.
Yeah.
You know? So they need to experience those things. Then you get exploratory play, where you grasping objects, you know, grabbing them, shaking toys, so you're hearing different sounds. A cause and effect play, for instance. You build the blocks, you knock the blocks down. So it falls over. That's all to do with development. You get also, okay, not all parents like this one, but there's a story where you get a hammer and you get pegs and you can actually knock it in. But it's actually such a good exploratory play for that, yeah, that child to actually engage in, mm, even though you need a lot of patience when the children do that. And then constructive play, like stacking, you know, mm, where you get those ones where you stack in, so it's different shapes, and they have to try and stack it together according to the shapes, but you can also take it out and then stack it on top of each other.
Yeah.
So the child is learning now the different shapes, what fits where. So all this is happening when you're playing. You've got puzzles, and there are puzzles for each age. You know, if it's a young child, you're going to give them maybe a two-piece puzzle that they have to put together. But it's just the concept of having to bring it together, problem solving. That is the skill that they are learning with all these constructive play. And sorting shapes. Mm. There they're learning. That's a circle. That's a square. That's a triangle, you know. And now they're learning to, because you learn, I need to sort it first. Then I match all the same shapes. I can match all the same colors. So that's why I say it's a lot of data coming in. Then there's pretend play. And lots of us like this, where you play, you role play with your dolls.
Hmm.
And I mean, you could be Spider-Man, or you could be your mommy that you're playing as well. But it's all role playing, or kitchen sets, or dressing up, because that's all pretend play. And that is so good for cognitive development. You know, for your thinking skills. And then there's obviously the physical play that you get. Where's the jumping, the running, the climbing, the pushing toys, the kicking, the throwing. Yeah. You know, those are very physical. But all that play is what children need to be involved in.
Liewe luisteraars, jy luister in die program Ek en My Kind hier op Radio Tygerberg 104 FM. En ek is Neville en ek is in gesprek met Patricia Arnse. En sy is die bestuurder van therapiedienste by die Weskaap Onderwijsdepartement. Ons praat oor stunting of groeivertraging by kinders, vooral kinders in hulle ontwikkelingsfase, dis die vroeë early childhood fase, nee, dit is tussen die ouderdom 0 en 5 jaar oud, en ons praat oor van stunting, en die van u wat nie weet wat stunting is, en dit is waar 'n kind nie ontwikkel soos wat hy moet nie, en ons vind hier in Suid-Afrika dat daar baie kinders wat stunted is, hulle beleef groeivertraging, en dit het 'n groot impak op die verdere ontwikkeling van kinders, selfs in die leer van kinders word hierdeur vertraag, juist omdat 'n kind nie speel soos wat hy moes speel nie. En Patricia Arendse, jy noem nou 'n belangrike ding, jy praat van puzzles en jy praat van blokkies wat jy pak. Nou, as kinders nou nie die blokkies het wat hulle kan pak nie, wat kan hulle pak? Verstaan jy, want die taak moet nog steeds plaasvind, dat 'n kind hierdie vaardighede kan aanleer om stunting of groeivertraging teen te kan werk. Nee, dat ons kan verhoed dat kinders onderontwikkel, soos wat die probleem tans is in baie van ons gemeenskappe nie. Nou, wat kan ouers doen? Wat kan gesinne doen dat ons 'n gesinsomgewing daar kan stel waar ons kan verhoed dat kinders stunted is?
Okay, so you've asked now about what if you don't have the toys or the apparatus. There are things that don't require toys, but you could actually use what you have in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of time we actually encourage parents just to let the child do things with them, even if it is chores. But let the child participate in those chores as well. Because, you know, with packing away,
mm-hmm,
doing dishes even, you're doing sorting, because the cups are here, the plates are there. That's also sorting. That's also matching the utensils. Also, they are seeing what the parents are doing. And parents are the biggest role models. So they are going to copy what the parents are doing as well. So there's a lot of communication that happens also in there, between the parent and the child, which is so important because that communication, it's a big stimulation for that child. The eye contact they're making, the talking to each other, talking about your day, you know, child telling them, because we know our parents work, but spending time with that three-year-old and asking, so how was your day? Mommy did this, what did you do? And let the child tell you what they did. And also using language, that proper language, if I could use that word. So don't use simple language or baby language, but use the correct terms so that your child is then learning the vocabulary. Because that's often also a huge challenge, where children don't have the vocab, and so they can't express themselves very well when they are interacting with others. So it's very important that parents are communicating. So that talking is very important. Whether it's your baby, you know.
One of the things that Dr. Tandi Wessels mentioned in her interview the last time she was here was the looking at your child, smiling at your child. And that has found to be so important for kids in their emotional development, where kids also have a sense of psychosocial well-being is experienced just through those kind of contact. If it's just a look or a smile, smiling with your eyes, acknowledging facial expression. So these are some of the stuff that you are referencing now that is so important in bonding, in establishing a relationship, but also in communication.
Yeah, because as I said, the child learns from the parent, and children want to communicate. I was talking about my niece this morning. I mean, she's 5 months, and when you talk to her, Evie wants to speak.
Yeah.
She wants to talk back to you. She makes the eye contact. She's smiling. Her mouth is going. There are no words yet, but you talk back, and you talk in proper language back to the child, and they respond. Because they are making sense of what you are actually telling them. And the connections come. As they get older, the connection, the action to the word, they make the connection because of the interaction with you as parents. That bond is very important. So that connection comes, and then they understand, when I smile, the word is smile. When I come and I hold out my arms and I come to you, that word is hug. You know, so they make the connection. And that's how they learn the vocabulary. It's the same as when they first tell you, mama, you know, or dada. Yes, they made the connection. And that is what you want. And that is actually you are stimulating them right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those early childhood years is the years before a child goes to formal schooling. Becomes so important to do the stuff that you are mentioning now, because that's the formative years where a child actually absorbs, gathers all the data that you referred to earlier, that data then becomes meaningful in the child's daily living. Now, many parents that's listening this evening are now checking whether they are doing the stuff that you are mentioning, right? And the important thing to emphasize is that these are stuff that needs to happen. Because this is what a child needs, and if we don't do it, then a child could be stunted in their development. And that is why we're having this program this evening, because there are many children out there in this phase of their development that experience stunting because of relationships that's not active or not activated in the way that you are just explaining.
Yeah. So if I could break it down,
okay,
and to just give parents in some ideas or to even acknowledge what they are doing right now with their children, that it is actually making a difference. So if you just look 0 to 6 months, if I could just give some examples. For instance, tummy time, when you place your baby on their tummy, because we will always, as OTs, we always say, please, just place the baby on the floor and let them just lay on their tummy, because it allows their hands and their legs to be free, but it's strengthening their back, it's strengthening their neck muscles. So just allowing that where you are sitting or where you are at, tracking objects. Like, you know, the bright colors, we always say those mobiles that that hang over the cots, and makes a huge difference because that's allowing eye movement. Mm. And it's tracking. They're going to need that when they read.
Yeah.
You know, when they look at words, because they need to track. So that's developing there already. Or even the rattle. It allows him to recognize sound. Where is the sound coming from? So it's a lot of stimulation just with that. Then the gentle massage, which is when you wash your baby and now you're putting on the cream, and just that massage, that massaging of the muscles. There's such a lot of sensory development happening there through touch.
Mm-hmm.
And just the development of that muscles. You're talking and you're singing to your baby, you know, singing lullabies, singing rhymes, and as we said earlier, that eye contact.
Yes.
Because that is what they need. Grasping of toys. So, you know, the rattles that we have, the cloth toys that they have, and then you encourage them to take it because they do reach for it. So that is stimulation already, and that's just 0 to 6. Right? Mm-hmm. Then from 6 to 12 months, so now we're looking at, we want to develop that fine motor, that sensory, that social bonding. So peekaboo, that's always a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Every child loves peekaboo. And that helps with cognitive development and social interaction,
yeah.
Right? Clapping games, encouraging that eye-hand coordination, rhythm.
Yes.
They're going to need this later when they must read and write in school. It's all those foundational skills they're learning. The stacking cups, as we said earlier, or blocks, because that's problem solving. It's motor skills, because mm-hmm. you have to physically stack it. Crawling through tunnels, and that you make from the furniture at home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's strengthening the muscles. Crawling is such a wonderful activity because there's coordination, muscles are strengthened, there's cognitive development happening, sequencing. It's such a lot just in that activity. And then what is also nice, I put here, was finger foods. So introducing bananas, avocados, so it's soft foods, but you're actually developing the fine motor and also the feeding skills with those. And then if we look at 1 to 2 years, so there we're looking at strengthening coordination, we're looking at language and independence now.
Yeah.
Okay? Because there are certain things they're going to have to be able to do on their own. So push and pull toys. We know they love those because that helps with walking skills because they're in that stage. It helps them with the balancing because that is what they're practicing. Dancing to music.
Yes.
You don't need any apparatus to that. That's coordination. That's their body. They're aware. Where's my arms? Where's my head? Where's my legs? That is what you're aware of. And then always scribbling with crayons.
Yes.
They love it. But it encourages grip. It encourages creativity, and they are going to scribble on your walls because that is how children develop. The best place for a child to learn to write is on a wall.
Okay.
It's if you look at development, that is where they learn to. So they are going to write on your walls. So get washable paint. And then simple shape sorters, because you can bring shapes in now. So it improves problem solving, hand-eye coordinating. And then mimic play. So we like using animal sounds. So they listen and then they have to, what does a dog do? So you bark like a dog and then the child imitates what you are doing.
Yeah.
But it's very good. It's clapping, it's waving. Mm. They try to imitate that. And then from 2 to 3 years, we are now looking at enhancing their speech because they're really starting to talk now, and their independence and early problem solving. And you'll also see that year they are looking to play with others as well. So that play is developing, because before it would be solitary play, where you know they're playing on their own, but they are coming more into the group now. So you'll see parallel play, but also they want to play with others. So building with blocks is creativity, is motor planning. because they've got to plan that movement. Mm-hmm. Playing with Play-Doh is a hot favorite for me because you need that for writing skills. Your fingers are developing when you do Play-Doh, and your hand muscles, water play, pouring, scooping, splashing. It's all for fine motor. And then obstacle courses that you can make yourself. It's jumping, climbing, running, any gross motor, so any big skill that they have to do, throwing, catching, those are that. And then our favorite is pretend play.
Yeah.
And that's when we're in the kitchen or we're with our dolls.
Mm.
We used to say house.
Yes.
That's what we play. So those kind of plays. And then for our 3 to 5 year olds, so they would be now our oldest in this group.
Yes.
This is now for school readiness because they are preparing to go to grade R. So it's problem solving and fine motor skills because they are going to start writing their names after 5 years old.
Yes.
They're beginning to want to do it as well. You'll see it happening. So you can introduce scissors, cutting skills, but the safe blunted edges, please. Or even tearing, because at that stage, tearing is very good for hand function, beads or pasta, stringing it. It's fine, most of it. It's also patience. It teaches them skills for social interaction. And our favorite, storytelling and questioning. So telling a story, and they have to listen and repeat after you. And obviously there's always that favorite story, but it's comprehension. They're understanding what you're telling them. And that is how they know what is their favorite, and it's language development. And then, as I said before, chores. Let them do simple chores. Sorting laundry, even watering plants that you know they can't kill. But encouraging that responsibility, because later in life, that is a skill they need to have. When they go to school, they need to have a sense of responsibility. So having chores is very important. Helping mommy, helping daddy, you know, and helping granny. But chores, it's really, there's so many things. If I look at all of these play activities, even, you put it in chores and make it fun, you act cover so many things because you're doing it.
Weet jy, Patricia, jy noem nou 'n klompie goeders daarin en dit vra eintlik 'n opvolgprogram, want tyd is as mens daarmee, maar het vra eintlik 'n opvolgprogram as werklik kyk na die hele speelgedeelte. Een van die dinge wat vir my nou na vore spring uit alles wat jy nou sê, is dat dit bevorder verhouding. Want al die dingetjies wat jy noem wat belangrik is om groeivertraging te voorkom, en om stand te prevent, nee, en om ontwikkeling te bevorder. Al hierdie vraag eintlik van ons om verhoudings te bou. En dis die een ding wat jy as ouer, as jy hierdie goedjies met jou kind doen, dan bou jy eintlik 'n baie sterk verhouding met die kind. En as 'n goeie verhouding is in jou verhouding met jou kind, dan is dit 'n groot element wat stunting of groeivertraging eintlik teenwerk. En dit is die verhouding. Die groot ding wat kinders vandag in die wêreld soek, en veral ek wat werk in die ruimte van positiewe gedrag, vind jy baie keer, daar's afwesigheid van verhouding, volwasse verhoudings in die lewens van hierdie kinders. So, that's the one thing that jumps at me as I'm listening to you. So, Patricia, thank you so much for the valuable information that you gave us. Our time has run out. And I think at some stage we need to get you back and some other OTs as well in this studio. Then we can speak about play and the importance of play and how parents can facilitate an environment where kids can play. Because as you've said, play is the occupation of children, right? And that is how they learn. So thank you so much for being here this evening.
Thank you very much, Neville. I enjoyed this conversation very much.
Liewe leser, op daarin noot sê ons vir u tot volgende week. En baie dankie dat u ingeskakel was en goeienaand aan u.
Dit was Ek en My Kind. Op Radio Tygerberg 104 FM.